I did the math. I had to get a calculator out to do this. This is the 1,992nd Feast of Pentecost since 31 AD. Pretty amazing, huh? And it has been observed. God said that nothing would prevail against his church. Here we are. And the list of names that have done this while we're doing it now and who have done it before us, probably pretty magnificent names. You know what we mean? Well, welcome to this most precious holy time. It carries within it the profound knowledge and the incredible understanding of the most loving and considerate God, what his masterful plan reveals about the miraculous beginning of his new covenant holy family. Welcome here, the true assembly of God, true people of God, the church of God, distributed about the earth as he has so willed it. Amazing. One of the greatest events in history occurred on this day. The world didn't know it. We continue to recognize this precious anniversary. The world doesn't know it. I know you can look at a secular calendar. We have a secular calendar at our home, and it says Pentecost for today. But so what? It's had about four or five other little things on that little block of what people recognize on this day. So, anyway, this is the perfect demonstration of God's generosity and his love. And we'll elaborate on that a little bit more as we go along in this message. We're joining peoples that God knows personally. Personally. He knows me better than my wife knows me. Whew! You know, he just does. Knows us personally. He's extended the greatest invitation that can be to us and them for the fulfillment of salvation. For your notes, you can go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. One of the most monumental statements that is made by Paul to servant of God, Timothy. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, we have to have God's permission to have and to use the name of Jesus Christ. We have to have his permission. One of the commandments, as you well know, it just simply states, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And that can be elaborated on in probably 10 different sermons. But we have been given permission to have and to use the name of Jesus Christ. We have permission for the supreme sovereign ruler of the universe, none higher. That's stunning in its own right, brethren. That's stunning on its own right. And on the day of Pentecost, those precious people that were given the Holy Spirit in 31 AD, they were given that permission. You now can have not only my name, but the name of my son. You talk about something that's taken just profoundly, casually in the world. It's because they are ignorant, do not know. They simply do not know. What was the last thing that Christ stated? Forgive them, Father. They do not know what they are doing. One of the last things. There's no single human administration on this earth that completely encompasses the peoples that God has called, chosen, and elected for the fulfillment of his will in becoming one of his children. God knows those who are his. It's a small group of peoples. Mr. Cagle elaborated on that yesterday. Very, very small group of people in comparison to the full population of humanity now, but also throughout the history of mankind, a small group of people God has been working with. What an incredible, stunning, stunning honor it is to be here, to be given the Holy Spirit, and in the proper way that God has designed it. Welcome to the Feast of Pentecost. As we join the children of God before His throne to worship Him and His Son in spirit and in truth, to be healed. I've listened to a number of sermons this past year, and I'm kind of amazed, and I love it, that a number of ministers, it says, you know, we're here to be healed. Everybody that's in this room and everybody that's in the Church of God is sick. We're human beings. We're living on this earth. We've been called out of Babylon. God is so patiently, so loving, so generously extending to us His incredible holy power to heal us. Christ elaborated on that, that they might be healed in His ministry. I like to consider this. I was visiting with Mr. Dowd yesterday about this wonderful Feast of Pentecost and what it symbolizes. It's a festival of hope. This world is hopeless. It has no hope. It puts a lot of its value on what they think is hope, but it's not hope. It's just shallow, false hope. We have the true hope that comes from God. You know, read Romans 8, well, the whole Bible. I mean, God's incredible gift to us, but Romans 8, 1, all the way to the very end of Romans 8, just filled with the incredible work of God and the hope that involves. You know, brother, my wife and I are deeply immersed in rehab, rehabilitating peoples that have suffered horrible diseases, injuries, any number of things. And at the end of each day, we get together and we have a little bit of calm down time. And we share with each other what we've gone through in the day. My wife is very good about saying, okay, what was your high point? Well, what was your low point? And we discuss it and we talk about it. And we talk about the miraculous miracles and the phenomenal events that we encounter in the healing of human beings, dealing with human beings. It is a great honor indeed. I'd like you to go to the 139th Psalm. Psalm 139. As many of you know, this is my favorite psalm. Okay, and we're going to start reading right in the middle of the psalm. Because one of the things my wife and I elaborate on is that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Starting in verse 13 of Psalm 139, I'll be reading from the New King James. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Brethren, the title of this message is The Timing and Sequences of Our Loving God. The Timing and Sequences of Our Loving God. I'd like to ask your indulgence just for a moment, because I'm going to go back through this scripture here that we just read, these set of scriptures. I'm going to adjust it a little bit to reflect upon the Church of God. to reflect upon the bride of Christ. You know, in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, we'll get into that a little bit later, there is a section of scripture that God inspired Paul to record. And within it, he addresses two covenants. The first one, of course, is the holy covenant that is in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. The second covenant is the holy covenant of marriage. And it's within that chapter. In verse 32, the Apostle Paul then makes a remarkable statement. He says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." And as his Holy Spirit, those who have been properly called, properly elected, who have chosen to be baptized, they've made that decision. Hey God, that's one of the most wonderful things about the great God. He calls us, but then he gives us, inspires us, directs us, hopes that we will then say, "Yes, Father, I would like everything you want me to have." And you personally initiate, ignite that step by step by step timing and sequencing of being baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit properly, laid hands on by one of God's true ministers. And then you start growing, right? You start growing. So returning to Psalm 139, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to adjust it a little bit for us. Verse 13. "For you formed our inward parts. You covered us in our mother's womb. We will praise you, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, in that we know right well. Our frame was not hidden from you when we were made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes observed our substance, yet being incomplete, and in your book of life they are all written, with the days fashioned for us, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to us, O God. How great is the sum of them. If we should..." I knew I'd start crying. Forgive me. "If we should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When we awake, we are still with you." How incredible. I just want to put that in there because the body of Christ is to be one as God and his Son are one. We are supposed to be healed. Brethren, the purpose of this message is to hopefully present some of the sequences of God that are ultimately going to bring us to the completeness of glory that is the bride of Christ. The true children of God know the one true God, his beloved Son, our Lord, Savior, and Master Jesus Christ. But I was just thinking this morning, and I put this in my notes, name 10 characteristics that we share with the brethren of 31 AD. One of them is that we have been invited to be here. They were invited to be there, right? We know them because God the Father first reached out to us and began the most intimate of relationships. God the Father did. We did not introduce ourselves to God. We did not. I can go into elaboration about my calling. I've talked to a number of you about your calling. I was so far away. There's no way that I was in. "Hey, God, I really want to know you." No. That was so far from my mind. so far from it. We did not even know who the one true God was or is, certainly not his son, Jesus Christ. All the personal efforts a person can imagine to know God cannot be initiated independently. Cannot. It's impossible. God the Father's got to do it. That scripture was elaborated on yesterday. We're here because we have been summoned to be here. God the Father has personally enabled this, and his Son, our Savior, has been presented by him to redeem us from a destiny that had no hope at all. To redeem us from a destiny that had no hope at all. You know, brethren, we have all been witnessing things that are just unimaginably cruel, horrible, tragic, terrible in this country. That little town, Uvalde, Texas, I spent most of my young life there. My grandparents lived there. And that little town will never know for the be known now for the wonderful thing that it was. It's always going to be known about that horrible tragedy. And there's a list of names of towns all around this nation that that's the way they're known. And Columbine, a wonderful little town. What is so magnificent and wonderful is that when I think of Tulsa, I think of y'all. It's profoundly uplifting. That's magnificent. That's happy. My wife says, oh, we're going to Tulsa. Yeah, we are. Let's go. It's wonderful to be here. I will never stop emphasizing that we are the most blessed of people upon the face of the earth in all of time because of the initial desire God has personally extended to us. I just cannot stop emphasizing that. This great, great honor to be given his beloved Son forever. That beautiful scripture in Galatians 2, verse 20, where it says, Christ lives within me. No, Paul elaborating. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives within me. If you have been baptized properly in the timing and sequencing that God has set for that, Christ lives within you. What an incredible honor. The world is totally ignorant of the one true church of God. What's happening in this church? The Apostle Paul identifies great rulers that we are so surrendered and submissive to. Once again, in your notes, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, he just simply states, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Then in verse 40, he says, let all things be done decently and in order. God is a God of timing and sequencing. Timing and sequencing. Throughout the entire creation, you will see the incredible timing, sequencing of God in everything, everything. Webster's dictionary just simply says sequencing is the order of succession. Brother, when my wife and I go in and we evaluate somebody, and for the first time, you know, if they meet me at their door, first thing I start watching, I'm watching how they walk. There's a unique timing and sequencing to walk. When I watch them sit down, there's a unique timing and sequencing to doing that. And to stand up, there's a unique timing and sequencing to do that. To get into bed, to get out of bed, there's a unique timing and sequencing to do this safely. The folks that have timing and sequencing disrupted are the folks that are having some problems, and they usually meet the floor when they don't want to. Okay? Or they exhaust themselves trying to do certain things out of timing and out of sequence. And I see this every day. I see it every day in everything that I do, watching how someone walks, sits, gets up, moves about. It's a wonderful phenomenon that God has placed into human beings. You'll even see it in the animal world. You'll see the way dogs do it, the way kitty cats do it. You know, when a little bird flies, there's got to be a unique timing and sequencing there. It's pretty stunning to watch that. And brethren, I know your mind is upon the timing and sequencing of God's Sabbath, feasts, and holy days. One's got to happen, and then the next one, then the next one, then the next one, then the next one. Timing and sequencing of God to ultimately bring us to be the bride of Christ, and eventually all of humanity who will accept this magnificent, magnificent honor. We eventually become one of his children. It's amazing. When you read God's Bible, you'll see in that first chapter of Genesis, the timing and sequencing of recreation of the world that was so incredibly devastated, apparently, by the rebellion of Lucifer. God took care of that through his Son, Jesus Christ, replenishing the magnificent, beautiful planet Earth in order to begin the timing and sequencing of what you see in Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Timing and sequencing. Back in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, I mentioned the magnificent covenant of marriage that God desires for a man and a woman. When a man and a woman embrace together in the wonderful relationship that God desires and has designed, there is a profound beginning of life during the meeting of the male sperm and the female's egg. The Church of God believes that life begins upon conception. We know it. You cannot talk us out of it. What great tragedy it is that we are experiencing in our own country, the people that do not believe that. Then the miraculous pattern of sequence begins when the development of human life within the womb of that lady. The pattern of human development begins with the slow and gradual presentation of a human being in about 9 months to be born, cared for by its mommy and daddy. Timing and sequencing of life. So, brethren, such is the gift of the Holy Spirit. When God gives us his Holy Spirit upon the laying on the hands of the ministry, not that the ministry can call that Spirit down, it's just the way that God designed it, the timing and sequencing. And that precious minister prays over us. And if everything's been done decently and in order, and God is involved in that calling, in that election, he gives his Holy Spirit. It can only come from God the Father. And then we are put in the hands of Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, the author and finisher of our faith. They are both totally, perfectly united in this coming to fruition. How magnificent. How incredible this is. The person that this miracle begins with is not a casual consideration of God. It is one of the greatest and most deeply thought out individual events in the life of that person to be called by God. It's just not impulsive from God. It's not. Go to Romans 8, please. Mentioned Romans 8 earlier, how magnificent it is. How magnificent it is. But we're going to be reading beginning in verse 28 of Romans 8. The greatest sequence of events that can occur in the life of a person, there's nothing that can match it, nothing that is equal to it. It is the greatest, greatest, greatest thing that can ever happen to a human being. Verse 28 of Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. What an incredible sequence. Timing, sequencing. Mr. Dowd and I had fun kind of wondering. We finally get to talk to God. How long did you watch me? When did you start watching me? Were you there when I had this interesting thing happen? Were you there when I had this interesting thing happen? I told him about a car wreck, and I think I've shared that with y'all in the past. When I was a little boy. Horrible car wreck. Terrible. We all should die. My mom, my sister, and I. But we all got out of there. Got out of the car. I was thrown out of the car. Did God intervene then? I like to believe that he did. Then we started laughing when I asked him, well, what about that time I got beat up, got punched in the nose? God may look at me and say, well, Ralph, you deserve that. I knew the guy wasn't going to kill you, but boy, you sure needed a whooping. Hard to believe that a Texan would ever say that, right? A former Texan, right? We are informed in numerous scriptures that God's plan to create the greatest family that shall ever be was designed before time began. Putting these in your notes. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. Ephesians 1, verse 4. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Titus 1, verse 2. 1 Peter 1, verse 20, which states, who truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. We know the one true God, and we know the one true Jesus Christ. We know. We know. But it's not because of us, because of them. Hopefully, we walk humbly before the great God. We desire so deeply to be servants in his house, to care for each other, to be there for each other, to serve each other, to love each other. We're tested in this way now, brethren. Great challenges are now, and great challenges are coming. Never before have we been sought to be more united than ever before. Because we need each other's help. God says he will heal us, but he wants us to help each other to be healed, to be comforters. To be encouragers, be there for each other, to be there for each other. The sequential development of our lives to ultimately become a spirit being. The timing and sequencing is perfect because God the Father and Jesus Christ will see to its glorious fulfillment as is presented in God's perfect loving will. The will of God. You've heard it expressed before. This is our place of safety. Just continue to read from where I finished in Romans 8. You know, it just says so here. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Nobody can stand toe-to-toe with God and say, uh-uh, I ain't going to let it happen. You want to pick a fight with God? He'll end it. Ask the history of Lucifer, Satan, and anybody that's tried to stand in God's way, fulfilling his marvelous plan for us. When Jesus introduced us in the beginning of his ministry to the Sermon on the Mount, I'd like you to go, we draw to a conclusion. Matthew 5. I've just always found it is quite amazing that when you read Matthew 5, 1 through 16, this is how Jesus Christ decided to introduce his ministry, as is documented by Matthew. This is the timing and sequencing to become a peacemaker. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." The remainder of those scriptures talks about the persecution that's going to come because of who we are. All right. It's all right. Going to go through these things. We are filled with a hope that can only come from the great God. Praise God. His wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessings to us. We're living in an age that mankind does not know the way of peace. True peace. But we praise God for the wonderful plan and the precious gift of the Feast of Pentecost. The continuation of the observation of the anniversary of the beginning of the New Covenant Church of God. Great destiny that we know, our great destiny. How incredible that is. To be the bride of our Savior and Master, Jesus the Christ, combined to bring true peace to this earth. But we're working on being peacemakers now, kings. Priests, be at peace. Brethren, welcome to the Feast of Pentecost and the miraculous hope that it contains. I deeply, deeply pray for your hope that it'll be the greatest Feast of Pentecost that you've ever had yet.